When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is Fantasy MLB Today, a sports ethos presentation, and I am so glad to be doing this podcast and so glad that y'all are joining me. I am coming off a fantastic Sunday night when I got off work and my wife surprised me with a nice little Father's Day celebration. I am not really a human father yet, but I am a father to four awesome fur babies. I got Marley, my Chiweenie, who's the oldest veteran of the group, and then we got the younger, more higher upside kind of German Shepherd in Aria. That's Aria Brienne. And then Marley is Marley Renee, by the way. Last names are all Williamson, of course. So you got Marley Renee, the Chiweenie. You got Aria Brienne, the German Shepherd, and then we got Edard Stark, our kind of veteran kitty. He's been with us for a few years now, and then we got Severus Pugsley, who is our youngest of the group, the little kitten. Well, not a kitten anymore, I guess. About a year. Well, not quite a year yet, but he's getting up there, and those two little bastards are just that. They're bastards. They run around like crazy, causing all kinds of havoc, but I wouldn't have it any other way. For the celebration, though, my wife made a fantastic dinner, guys. If y'all need to get yourself somebody who can cook, because that's just the key to my heart. It goes right to my fat boy heart. And she made a roasted chicken with a brown gravy, all homemade, of course. And then a six cheese mac and cheese, guys. And I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to remember what all the cheese were. It's cream cheese, queso fresco, the cheese that came out of the freaking box, which is awesome processed deliciousness. I said cream cheese, queso fresco, the cheese in the box. Come on, Esme. What were the other three cheeses? What were they? Come on. Make your podcast debut. What was on there? Come on, put you on the spot. Ah, she's waving me off. Oh man, no. It's just like the pitcher waving off the pitch selection from the catcher. She's just blowing me off, guys. All right. She's shy. She loves me. I swear to God, she loves me. I'm pretty sure she loves me. But she's still here, right? I come home from work and she's still here. So that's got to mean something, right? Anyways, on top of that, we watched House of Dragon. I'm not much of a fantasy TV show nerd. Lord of the Rings is kind of warming up to me. I now can say I do like Harry Potter, but man, my favorite of them all is Game of Thrones. And I don't know if y'all are watching House of Dragon or not. If you're not, you really should. It's been a week or two binge watching Game of Thrones and get in the House of Cards, guys. It's fantastic. If you are watching it and you haven't watched the first episode, I'm not going to spoil it for you because it's pretty good. I will just say, Damon start some shit. All right, y'all. Enough of that, guys. Make sure you go follow me on the Twitter at PaulW_34. That's at PaulW_34 to get my random thoughts throughout the day. And if you do follow me on the Twitter, then you already know the special surprise I have for y'all today. And it's going to be popular ads and drops on top of the usual pitcher streams. I will be diving into a lot of ads and drops as usual for these extra topics for me anyways, since I go so heavy on the pitcher side. You're going to have a lot of hitting on there. Besides, a lot of the ads and drops on the pitcher side are covered in the streams, because a lot of these guys are being added for the stream. They're being dropped after being used as a stream. So, you know, the drops are generally, ads and drops or pitchers are generally covered by my by streaming conversations, and then the drops as well. And so it's going to be a lot of hitting focused stuff, even though I do have a couple of extra pitchers on that list. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Before I get into all of that, let's talk about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker or unwind with whatever over 150 slots games. Head over to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, that's B-L-E-A-V on your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. One of y'all regular listeners are mouthing along to me while I read that ad read. You know, it does change quite a bit, so they keep it fresh for you. They keep it a little fresh. All right, y'all. Well, let's dive into the streams for today and tomorrow. You know the rules, 65% and under, they'll probably be talked about. If they're not talked about, that means they're either heavily rostered or you're not touching them with a 10-foot pole with your fantasy baseball squads. All righty, y'all. So, quick recap of today. If you want more information on today's streams, listen to the podcast from yesterday, and then we will dive into tomorrow's streams, followed by the most popular ads and drops. I started off today's streams with Yusei Kikuchi, a new stream to the list. His rostership has dropped. I think he's a risky 12-team play against Boston. You're especially fading him because it's too early in your head-to-heads to risk it. The whiffs, however, are back against two good offenses, so I think Kikuchi is trending in the right direction, but he's a tough start today. Reese Olsen is a fade against the Braves. John Gray is a fade against the hot Mets team. However, as a caveat here, if I'm wrong and he does well, you want to sell high on him. Braxton Garrett is a risky 12-team play, but you want to watch what he does because he could potentially start getting whiffs but he's getting hit hard right now. But you want to watch the start because Braxton Garrett does still have something there. Carson Spears, however, is a deep league matchup against Pittsburgh. See if he gets an opener because your deep leaguers are going to use him for a potential win chance if he does get an opener against a poor offense. And then James Paxton is a deep league win chance only. Alrighty, y'all. Let's start talking about tomorrow's streams. We're going to start off with Aaron Civale. He's 35% owned. He has Minnesota, and that's a tough matchup, y'all. The Twins are a solid offense. They're 12th in WRC plus overall, 11th in slugging. This is against right-handed pitching specifically. Civale is definitely a questionable pitcher this year with a 5.20 ERA. The 4.60 fielding independent pitching FIP is 4.60, so that's not an inspiring number. The XFIP is 3.83 due to a low home run to fly ball ratio at nine. That's last year's was nine. This year's it's back up to 15.7%, and that's more in line with his career numbers. Because last year was at 9%, but he's back up into the 15.7% range, which is closer to his career numbers. And then when you also consider the fact that he's allowing more balls in the air with a decreasing ground ball rate, which is originally in previous seasons around 41% or higher, went down to 38%. Last year to 32.4%. This year, he's not missing as many barrels as he did last year. His exit velocity is up. His launch angle sweet spots numbers are up. The expected WOBA and the expected slugging are all higher than last year. Civale is just trending in the wrong direction right now. He is only a start in leagues where you are punting your ERA and WHIP and you're just looking for strikeouts. So if you have those punt builds in roto leagues, then you can go with him because he does have a 23.9% strikeout rate. He has a decent chase rate. And he also has a good CSW, 29.3%. However, overall, I'm fading him in 12-team head-to-heads. It's too early to risk your ERA and WHIP in those head-to-heads. But if you're in a punt build situation where you don't care about the ERA and WHIP, then I can see you rolling with Civale to try and get some counting stats if that is what you need, because he can get you some strikeouts, but that is about it. All right. Tristan McKenzie, 54% owned. He has Seattle, so that kind of puts him in the same ballpark, same tier, I guess you could say, as Aaron Civale, because like Civale, he has a decent strikeout rate at 22%, and so that he could potentially get you some strikeouts. However, overall, I do not like this matchup. I do not like this start. I mentioned his last start out, how he got a ton of whiffs two starts ago, but his last start, the whiffs, they disappeared. They're the one thing that you could potentially grasp onto for him that he might start to do well kind of went away in the last start. So the whiffs are gone. He has the 4-10 ERA, has a FIP of 5.67. That's not all that great. It's too early for those head-to-heads to risk your ERA and whip. He's been getting hit hard. I just don't like the play. He's just there for if you need those counting stats. If you're looking for a potential W, even though Seattle's freaking hot right now, they're winning a lot. So I don't know if the win chance is really all that there. But look, the Seattle Mariners are still strike out a lot, and Tristan McKenzie has an okay strikeout rate of 22%. So again, you're putting your ear away in whips, you're in those roto leagues, then I can see you going forward if you just really need some strikeouts, but that is about it. All right, Alec Marsh, he has Oakland, and he's one of my favorite streams today, especially when it comes to pitchers that are heavily available, because he is a pitcher that is just kind of okay overall, but he's facing a very bad offense in the Athletics. They're 24th overall in WRC+, and they are second in the league in strikeout rate, so they strike out a ton. Alec Marsh has some solid numbers. He has a 3.63 ERA with a 3.01 FIP, and that, oh wait, sorry, 3.81. Whew, I was wondering, like, holy shit, 3.01 FIP? That's awesome, but no, it's 3.81 FIP. But you know what? That's good enough for the Athletics, y'all. I say that a lot, right? You know, these numbers might not all that great, but for the matchup, it'll do. You know, that'll do. Like in the words of Shrek, you know, that'll do, donkey, that'll do. He has a 22.5% strikeout rate, which is kind of meh, a 7% walk rate, which is okay. You know, he has a meh 11.4 swinging strike rate and a meh 28% CSW. So again, you know, these numbers aren't all that great. They don't pop off at the page at me, but however, they're good enough for the Oakland Athletics. You know, overall, you know, there is some risk with Marsh. He does get hit hard. He doesn't have very good exit velocities, hard hit rates, barrel rates. He has a high line drive rate. So, you know, there are some things that are working against them. However, there are a couple other numbers that might make that also kind of help his case. His WOBA against him is only 286, but the expected WOBA is 333. So the predictive number on the WOBA isn't all that great, but the question you have to ask yourself is what is the chance the Athletics make you pay for it? Now, they made you pay for it with Paddock yesterday, but how often is Lightning going to strike twice, right? This is not an offense that is reliably good, and so I think that makes Alec Marsh a solid option. And that is for 12 teams. You know, it's still risky in 12 teams because the Athletics could still take advantage like they did against Paddock. However, overall, the chances of it happening again aren't super awesome. So I think 12 teamers, you can go with it. You can go with Marsh tomorrow in your rotos and your head-to-heads. Deep leagues, you definitely want to go for it. All right.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's talk Spencer Schwellenbach. Mr. Schwellenbach is a good win chance, and that's about it. You know, he has been averaging more than five innings a start. He has 15 innings pitched and three starts this year. So, you know, there's a chance he can go five. You know, maybe we can see there's a chance for a win here. The numbers for him overall, though, are very poor in those three starts. I'm not even going to dive into them because he had excellent numbers in the minors, hasn't translated to the majors. And this year alone, he began this year in high A ball, went to double A, skipped triple A, went to the majors, and has struggled since. So, you know, you're hoping he goes five, and you're hoping the Braves have the lead whenever he leaves the ball game, because there's a chance that he can get you a win, and that's all you're here for. So deep leagues, this is your option here. This is your chance to chase a win. But that's just about all she wrote. Alrighty, y'all. Let's talk Rodri Munoz. And I have him on the list here because I want to watch what he does. I want y'all to see what he does against the Cardinals. The Cardinals have a good WRC plus. They're 10th in the league against righties. They're 10th. They're also 10th in strikeout rate. So they do strike out a decent amount. Munoz has a 456 ERA with a FIP of 662. So that's not all that great. However, what has me watching him is his excellent 26% strikeout rate. He is striking out pit hitters like crazy. So he is a decent option again for those punt builds where you don't care about your ERA and whip and you're looking for a ton of strikeouts. Munoz can be that. However, he does get hit hard. He has one of the worst hard hit rates and exit velocities and barrel rates against him. Like, those numbers are all just ass. They're all terrible. In the words of Eric Cartman, they are lame. So do not expect Munoz to just not get rocked. There's a very real possibility he's going to get rocked, but he's going to strike out some Cardinals because they strike out a lot. He strikes out a lot of batters. So you can very well see him getting like 5 to 6 strikeouts in 4 innings while blowing up your ERA and whip. I can see that being a possibility, but those are some decent strikeout numbers for a guy who might not go more than 4 or 5 innings. So if you're looking for some strikeouts, it's a volume in that situation for your everyday change leagues. If you're just way behind on strikeouts, you're needing something, you don't care about the ERA and whip, then you can go with Munoz. And then overall, though, for standard team, 12-team leagues, guys, I'm watching him, right? If he can start to miss the barrels, if he can start to not allow such hard contact and maintain that strikeout rate, then I think Munoz has some potential. He's just 1% owned right now, so he's definitely on the deep league radar if you're looking for strikeouts. Let's talk Jake Irvin. He's 55% owned now. He has the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's a big time fade for me tomorrow because the Diamondbacks are on fire. They are leading the league in WRC Plus in June. They are leading the league in WRC Plus in June. They are on fire right now. However, so is Jake Irvin. You have a hot pitcher going up against a hot offense. So for Jake Irvin, we dive into the numbers. We have a 3.00 ERA, a 3.24 FIP, so that's pretty solid, a 21.3% strikeout rate with a 4.6% walk rate. I like the walk rate more than I like the strikeout rate, but the strikeout rate isn't terrible at 21.3%. The swing and strike rate and the CSW are both okay. You know, they're 11% on the swing and strike rate, 28.4% on the CSW. He has excellent extension on his fastballs, so that adds to their value. And overall, he's been pitching great. The last five starts, he's gone at least six innings. He's allowed two earned runs or less. Overall, that's 31 strikeouts and 30 in a third innings pitch. Now, that's pretty good. And then early in the year, he had another string of starts where he had five excellent starts and six outings. So overall, for the entirety of the season, Irvin has been productive. He really has. However, there are some causes for concern. He's around league average on the barrel rate, and he's below league average on exit velocity and hard hit rates. His ground ball rate is up, the fly ball rate is down, so there's a couple of numbers working out for him. But overall, I want to see the curveball get a friend, right? The curveball has an excellent wOBA against it, excellent sluggy against it, especially the expecteds on it are also really good. Against everything else, though, it's not. I really want to see him start to produce some kind of effective option outside of the curveball, because as of right now, in terms of the entirety of the season on the whole, the curveball is the only one that has seen consistent success. And so if we can start to see consistent success on other pitches outside the curveball, then I can start to see Irvin as a start against better offenses. However, for now, Irvin is probably just a start against middling to worse offenses right now for sure, and he becomes more and more of a fade against some of the better offenses in the league right now. However, if it's something else other than the curveball can come around, I can see Irvin becoming a start against more offenses. Let's talk Tobias Myers. He's 10% owned against the Angels, and in deeper leagues, you'll be playing the matchup. The Angels are 22nd in the league in WRC plus against righties. And Tobias Myers he's shown some upside this year with the 3.76 ERA. However, the FIP isn't where you want it to be at 5.06. He does have a pretty high home run to fly ball ratio of 16.3%. And he has a low ground ball rate at 36%. So, those numbers aren't super inspiring. He doesn't miss barrels. He does have a high exit velocity against him, but he does have a low hard hit rate. And so, that shows a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde to his profile. And as a young pitcher, that's to be expected. He also has a high line drive rate and at 26.5% with a league average of 24.8%. However, here are the reasons to kind of start to be a little more excited about Mr. Myers. The last couple of starts have been fantastic. He threw 74% of his pitches for strikes last time out. Not getting a lot of whiffs. And so that is something that I kind of want to see him start to do with Myers. I like the command starting to come around. The next step is I want to start to see some whiffs out of him. Maybe he can start missing some more barrels. Maybe he can continue with the low hard hit rate as well. So I'm looking for him to have better command. I'm looking for him to continue on this upper trajectory. However, he has had good bad bip luck, which is why I want to see him start missing bats, because if he doesn't keep missing bats, there's no way the bat bit stays at 238. So I want to see him start missing those bats. Until he does, Tobias Myers is a deep league option against offenses like the Angels. He's a 12-team fade in Roto and head-to-heads especially. So until we see the improvement, I'm only watching Myers in standard size leagues. Let's talk Bailey Falter, 12% owned, and he has the Reds, and you're going to be, you're going to be chasing the matchup with this option here in those deep leagues. He does have a low walk rate of 6.6%, and the Reds are 19th in the league in WRC plus against lefties. So they're a little bit better against lefties than they are righties, but they're not necessarily all that awesome. Bailey Falter has had excellent extension actually on his four seam. However, he hasn't been getting whiffs, and he's been getting hit hard, and the expected slugging against him is in the bottom 7% in the league. So there's a lot of risk with Falter. However, because he has a decent matchup against the Reds, I can see this potentially working out. However, do keep in mind we're getting to the warmer months of Cincinnati, and Great American Ballpark is probably going to start popping. So overall, Falter needs to be remained only in those deep leagues because there's a good chance this blows up. However, with that walk rate, with how the Reds do struggle overall as an offense, I think Bailey Falter has a chance to do okay, but this is for those deep leagues only. I mean, I'm talking 16 team leagues or deeper here with Falter. All right, Let's talk a little bit of Lance Lynn, y'all. And look, he's 22% owned, which is honestly a little higher than I thought it would be, because I wanted to come on here and say he can be a deep league option. But at 22%, he's probably not there for those deep leagues. But I think that he is a maybe a little bit better than a deep league option. He's starting to kind of start to show some level of production. Let's get into it. 3.75 ERA, 3.93 FIP. He has a 22% strikeout rate. The walk rate's still kind of high at 9.7%. He has a decent swinging strike rate, 11.8%. However, the CSW is really bad at 25.7. However, the home run to fly ball ratio is at 9.2%, and that's kind of close to his previous levels in St. Louis, in the 2015, 2016 range. That's about where it was then. Well, it was probably closer to 6-7% then, but 9.2% is the first time it's been below 10 in a while. And when you combine that with the fact that his numbers, his hard hit numbers, his exit velocity numbers, the barrel numbers are all at least kind of decent. They're not terrible. He's not getting smacked around super hard. So those numbers are okay. And these numbers might be good enough to justify starting him against the Marlins. This is a very good matchup for Lance Lynn. And he does show some decent numbers overall. You know, the expected slugging is 50 points lower than it was last year. His expected WOBA and the WOBA are both down to around league average. So Lance Lynn is not a fantastic pitcher. I'm not going to give him a ringing endorsement, but when you've got average numbers, especially when it comes to hard hit rate, exit velocities, when these quality of contact numbers against a pitcher are so middling, they're super kind of meh, but then you've got a really, really bad offense, you know what? You might be able to use him in 12-team leagues. I'm personally probably not going to do it, but it's justifiable. You can make the argument. And if you're really, really looking for a stream, if you really just feel like you got to inject your team with the potential, or you can, you know, well, whatever the scenario is for you, if you got the inkling to do it, then do it. If you're going into this podcast looking at Lance Lynn going, I don't know, and you like him a little more than I do, I'm not going to be mad at you for starting him. It's not an awful start against the Marlins. It's just, you know, the risk is still there. The everything from last year just kind of gives me a pause still. It's not like these numbers are popping off at the page at me. It's not like he's elite in anything, but he's so middling and so average. And when he's got a really bad offense, you know, why not? All right, let's talk Slade Ciccone. He's 1% owned, and this makes him a deep league option against a bad Nationals offense. You know, so again, if you're in a deep league, I'm talking 15, 16 team leagues with a guy like Ciccone with a low walk rate of 4.8%. He actually has a decent hard hit and exit velocities against him. And the line drive rate is also pretty low at 20.3%. So there is a decent chance Ciccone does well against a poor offense like the Nationals. Overall, though, he doesn't miss barrels. He does have a low ground ball rate. The four seam and the cutter get smacked around pretty hard with really high expected slugging and expected wOBAs against it. So there's a lot of risk with Ciccone. However, he has a poor matchup, a good walk rate, a good line drive rate with average exit velocities and decent hard hit rates against him. You know, I can see this being an okay option in those deep leagues because he does have some numbers working in his favor and he has a good matchup against the Nationals. But overall, I see Ciccone is just a deep league option. I'm not touching him in standard size leagues.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, y'all. That's the end of the picture streams. Now we get to get into the popular ads. Now, I will say this right now. I have a lot more ads than I do drops. There actually aren't a ton of, you know, notable drops going on right now. There are a couple that pop off of the page. We'll get there. But let's start with the ads. The number one on the list is Tyler Soderstrom. He is now the everyday first baseman for the Oakland Athletics, and things are looking pretty okay for him. He has both catcher and first base eligibility, so that's a plus. He has a, he's slashing 250, 387, 464 with 5 homers, 13 RBIs. He does have a small sample size of only 98 at-bats. However, all of the under-the-hood numbers are looking really good for him. His expected weighted on-base average, ex-woba, is .372. The expected slugging is .527. His average exit velocity is 93.2%. His barrel rate is 17%. Hard hit rate, 56.6. Launch angle sweet spot, 35.6. He does have a really high strikeout rate at 31%. However, the walk rate is also really good at 13.2%. So, look, overall, it's looking legit so far. It is a small sample size, so there is a chance this might fall apart at some point. But as of right now, Soderstrom has really good numbers, and he is producing, he is batting, he's got an everyday role. So there is a good reason to add him in 12-team leagues. If you need help at catcher, if you need help at first base, then I really think that Soderstrom can be a decent option for you, because those numbers back it up, and he's hot right now. And so why not? There really isn't an argument against Soderstrom. There's just not. So yeah, this is a good ad. The next ad is not so much of a good ad. It's Jock Peterson. The only reason I can see this being a good ad right now is because he has one good matchup coming up next against Jake Irvin. And I talked earlier about some of Irvin's struggles. So, you know, there is a chance that Peterson does well. But look, he is a strong platoon bat. He does not bat against lefties. So for the rest of the week, he only has, 3 more starts. Actually, after Irvin, he only has 2 more starts against righties, and one of those righties is by a guy named Zach Wheeler. So this isn't a great week to have Peterson on your lineup. So if you added him, you're only going to be able to get maybe 1 or 2 good outings out of him this week. The rest of it, he's not starting against lefties, and one of the righties is Zach Wheeler. One of the other riders is Taiwan Walker, so there is possibility for a second good outing for him. But overall, Peterson is not a very good ad right now, especially if you have limited waiver wire pickups throughout the week. I'm not wasting one waiver wire pickup for one hitter in one game and then having to drop him again and pick him up again for the Taiwan Walker start. Now, if you're in an everyday change league, I can see you picking him up for this start and then maybe holding on to him for the Taiwan Walker start, or maybe re-adding him later in the week for that start, but you're going to drop him against Wheeler. You're not going to have him against the lefties. So unless you don't have a cap and you just want him for one game and you're just adding him before the good matchups, I can see it going well, because Jock Peterson is a fantastic hitter against righties. There's a reason why he starts and does very well and bats in the middle of the lineup against righties, because he's very, very good against righties. He has excellent expected numbers. His quality contact numbers are all there. You know, there's all kinds of numbers that back up his production, but he's only doing it against righties, and he only has 2 good matchups this week. So if you have a cap on your moves, I'm not wasting a move on Jock Peterson. All right. David Hamilton is next. And you're only here for the steals. All right. He does have a good slash line right now of .288, .340, and .446. In 47 games, he has 18 steals. That number is legit. The dude can get steals. I do question his power. I do question his overall on-base ability because the expected batting average is below his real batting average at .253. The expected slugging is low at .380. He doesn't have very good exit velocities or barrel rates or hard hit rates. However, I don't want to say he he's going to have zero power. I think there is going to be some okay power coming out of him because he has an elite launch angle sweet spot. So he's able to get the ball in the air on a sweet spot. And so that's a decent chance to get some power, but and he does have an elite chase rate. So he is showing the ability to have some good at bats. However, he does have a below average strikeout rate and walk rate. There isn't super awesome quality of at bats going on here. But the overall quality of contact numbers, exit velocity, barrel rate, hard hit rates aren't really there. The expected slugging isn't really there either, but he has a elite launch angle sweet spot, which gives him some power potential, not a whole lot. Like, I'm talking maybe another 5 to 8 homers on the year, which isn't terrible, right? That would make him end the year with about 12 homers or so. And even then, I feel like that might be a little high. I think it might be giving a little bit. I don't know. You're not super great, but not non-zero, right? There is some home run potential there from Hamilton. But overall, the batting average, I don't think, is going to be that high. There isn't a ton of power potential. But look, if you need steals, and who doesn't need steals, then you can roll with David Hamilton. That is a good reason to add someone, because in a specific category that can be a little rare, then David Hamilton can definitely be someone that can help you in that department. Because, you know, he does have a good high line drive rate at 33.7%. So that's another number that really does well, that really does kind of help his overall profile. However, you're just here for the steals. All right, up next is Shane Boz. He is coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's had 2 excellent starts in AAA, and there's a lot of rumbling that he's about to be recalled to the majors. And I do think that he is a decent speculative add in 14-team leagues and deeper. I don't know if I'm wasting a roster spot in standard size 12-team leagues, because you just don't know when he's going to get the call to the majors. You know, the obvious candidate for him to replace in the rotation is Aaron Civale. I talked earlier about how Civale has been struggling hard lately. So I can see him replacing Civale. Maybe the Rays go to a 6-man rotation. You know, so there is a path for him to get on the major league roster. The only question is, when will it happen? He's coming off Tommy John surgery, so he hasn't pitched in the majors since September of 2022. So, you know, there is kind of that rust factor, but he's done very well the last 2 starts in AAA. He has 15 innings pitched with 22 strikeouts and 2 earned runs. However, his pitch counts have gotten up to the 80s, so he's starting to get stretched out some. His fastball velocity is up to 96.5%. He has that elite fastball. He's got a great slider. That's a good combination of pitches there for him to have some awesome success in the majors if he gets there. So I think there is definitely some room for Boz to be a good speculative ad right now in 14-team leagues. If I am in 12-team leagues, I mean, unless you have an extra roster spot, you don't really have another ad, you don't have a stream you want to pick up or anything like that, and you have a roster spot, I can see you adding them right now, but there's just know you might be having to hold on to them for a couple of weeks before he actually gets called up. But I don't know. They might just say screw it and give him Civale start tomorrow for all I know. I don't know. But as of right now, Boz is just a speculative ad for 14-team leagues, in my opinion. Only in 12 teams if you can if you have a spot to spare. Alrighty, y'all. Let's talk Jared Kelenic. And he is starting to lead off for the Braves. He has led off the last 2 games. He has 2 homers in both those games. He has 3 homers overall in his last 7 games. In the month of June, he is slashing .293, .341, .561 on the slug. Overall, that brings him up to .267, .310, and .436 overall on the slash line. And look, you can point to his BABIP of .354 on the season and say he's been a bit lucky, but where the BABIP has gone down to 321 in June, and that batting average went up to 293. Also, in the month of June, he has a 90.6 mile per hour exit velocity, a launch angle of 15.5%, a barrel rate of 9.7%, and a hard, and those three numbers are all improvements on his yearly numbers. The only number which he's down a little bit is hard hit rate, but it's still at 38.7%, which is more than respectable. Overall, he has an elite launch angle, sweet spot rate, elite hard hit rates overall on the year to go with those elite exit velocities, launch angle, sweet spots. The barrel rate's been really good. However, the quality of at-bats have been terrible. He has bad chase rate, whiff rate, strikeout rate, walk rate. Those are all bad, which makes me think that the Braves might not keep him there at the leadoff spot with those kinds of quality of at-bats. However, it is still the Braves' offense. Even if he gets pushed back down to the 7 or 8 spot, there's still a decent enough chance for him to get some RBIs, get some run production going on there, and to be productive for your fantasy team. I think Jared Kelenic has been a solid add for fantasy managers right now in 12-team leagues and deeper, especially those 5 outfield leagues, especially considering how shallow the outfield poll has been. All right, let's talk Andrew Vaughn. And in June, he is batting 364 with a 1,000 plus OPS at 1,059. The BABIP is 375, so that's pretty high. However, the exit velocity of 93.2, launch angle of 15.9, barrel rate 13.3, hard hit rate of 53.6 in June are all fantastic on the year. He has a good expected slugging of 446. The average exit velocity against him has been 91.2. The barrel rate, hard hit rate, launch angle, sweet spot have all been good. However, just like with Kelenic, the quality of at-bat numbers have not been good for him. And he just has a league average expected weighting on base average. So I think Andrew Vaughn can be an add right now in 12-team leagues for his current level of production. However, I do think there's a chance for it to fall off just a little bit with an expected WOBA being, you know, around league average. But, you know, the expected slugging is pretty good. The exit velocities and barrel rate, hard hit rates are all solid. So I think there is a chance for Andrew Vaughn to be a pretty good 12-team option. But he's going to be kind of more on the lower end in terms of first baseman. So, you know, I do like him as an add right now, but I'm not over the moon for him, especially considering the team concept of the White Sox. He's not a lot of run potential there for him. All right. And the drop list now is a little shallower than usual. So there's only a few names in the list. One of the more popular drops right now is Chris Paddock. I mentioned him earlier in the podcast as someone who did really, really bad against the Athletics. I get it. It was the Athletics and he failed you. However, he gets another chance against the Athletics next time around. So if you dropped him, I think he might be worth another pickup because can the Athletics do it to him again? I mean, we talked about already about how the Athletics are second in the league at strikeouts. They are 23rd in WRC+. So overall, you know, they haven't been all that great. Do you really think the Athletics are going to tear him up again? I mean, I guess that could potentially happen, but I don't think he's a great drop right now because I believe his next start after that Athletic start is against the Mariners, who also strike out a lot, who also are on the bottom third in the league in WRC+. So he has a couple of good matchups coming up. I don't think he's a great drop right now. Don't get scared off of one bad start. Don't think the Athletics are going to do it again. I mean, I guess they could. I mean, I guess that is risk with the stream. But look, the Athletics doing it again is a very low chance. Speaking of the Athletics, one of the more popular drops has been Brent Roker. And this might be a bit of a mistake. You know, I understand in June he's playing like ass. 163, this is slash line, 163, 341, 388. You know, that slugging percentage is okay at 388. That's not super good. It's below league average. But he is still slugging a little bit more than what people may be thinking. But overall, he has excellent XWOBA, expected slugging, exit velocity, bat speed, barrel rate, hard hit rate, launch angle sweet spot. All those numbers are really, really good. So it's, I do not believe this slump is something that's going to last for much longer. I think he's going to bust out of it. While the quality of at bat numbers are bad, the chase rate, whiff rate, strikeout rate are all pretty terrible, he has been able to maintain a good walk rate of 10.2%. So I think there's a lot of things I like about Roker, and I think he is a bad drop. Finally, the last name on the drop list is Ryan Jeffers, a catcher for the Twins, and I think he's a decent 12-team drop. I'm keeping him in deeper leagues. The month of June has not been kind to him, with an awful slash of 118, 167, and 149. I do not like that. That's a terrible slash line. And I do think that his expected wOBA and expected slugging, you know, those numbers are still solid. He has a good bat speed and a good barrel rate, but everything else is just kind of middling and not super inspiring. So he does have some under the hood numbers that I think keeps him in the deep leagues, in deep league rosters. I think you hold on to him because he does have some good numbers, like the expected weighted on base average, xWOBA is pretty okay. The expected slugging is solid. The bat speed is there. The barrel rate is there. But everything else is kind of uninspiring. So I think that in 12-team leagues, I think you are going to drop him. He's a decent drop. You know, maybe if the production picks back up, he can become another short-term add in 12-team leagues. Because like I said, he does have those solid under the hood numbers too. So if he starts to heat up again, then you can add him for another short-term of value. But overall, rest of season, at least right now, he's a drop in 12-team leagues. In deeper leagues, however, especially two catcher leagues, I'm holding on to him because he does have good enough numbers to suggest that those numbers are not going to maintain. I mean, he's obviously not going to slash 118, 167, 143 for the rest of the freaking year, right? Like, those numbers are not going to be that terrible, right? So it's eventually going to come back up, and you add him whenever you start to see it come back up. Until that happens, 12 teams, keep them on your wire. And then deeper leagues, keep them. If someone drops him in one of your deep leagues, pick him up immediately. Get ahead of his potential future hot streak, because that's going to happen. So if he got dropped in a deep league, go pick him up right now. Alrighty, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I did forget to give a shout out to the fantasy football guys at Sports Ethos. Go follow them at Ethos Fantasy NFL, at Ethos Fantasy NFL. They're about to drop the draft guide, y'all. They've been working around the clock, grinding it over there in the NFL division, trying to provide you with as much information to help you win your leagues. Go check them out at Ethos Fantasy NFL, at Ethos Fantasy NFL. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at PaulW_34, at PaulW_34. Rate and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Tell your mom about it. Tell your dog. Tell your cats. Let everyone know about the podcast. Share it. Help me grow this podcast to its highest potential. Thank y'all so much. I definitely appreciate it. This episode's been brought to you by Bet Online. Y'all have a great day. Thank you for joining me.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.